This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Rabbi, good morning, Parshas Kisisa. So we begin with something very interesting from the something that probably many of us are familiar with. And that is, if we take a look in the beginning of Kisisa, you have the two longest aliyos that begin a parsha than any other parsha. Right? You have a huge aliyah to Sheni, another tremendous aliyah to Shlishi, and then the rest of it, you know, we make up for lost time. You know, what's pshat? So many are familiar with the idea that the first two aliyahs speak about what? The Chedo Egel. Especially the second aliyah, which is about the Chedo Egel. Who gets the second aliyah? Levi.
Who didn't participate.
So, you know, there's a halacha that a blind person or somebody who has a mum, we're not allowed to call him up to the Torah for that aliyah. It's embarrassing that he should read in the Torah about Iver Piseach. So for the Chet HaEgel, we don't want a Yisrael who contributed to making to the Egel to be called up to an Aliyah about the Egel. So we call up the Levi, who did not contribute to the Egel. So no one else should be embarrassed by being called up to that part of the Torah. We have over here a number one.
What's with the Kohen?
Shtei.
Kohen is not from the Egel.
He's from Sheni.
From Sheni starts.
But we want to get up to the Egel for the Levi, right? So we chaperayin as much territory as we cover as much ground in the beginning. This way we give the Levi the whole mice of the Egel, and then afterwards, you know, we split it up very quickly. Shtei aparshios harishaynash b'parshas kisisa hein aruchos shalai karagel v'shalai kamidasan b'chal parshios hashana. The first two aliyos of kisisa are much longer than anywhere else. Hadinhu, the din is Magen Avraham brings down Mishu Iver Ipiseach, a blind person, a crippled person, Ein Likroi Lai Parshas Iveres Ishaver. We don't read for him.
It's a din.
The Egel is a minog, but there's a din. You're not allowed to call up a blind person about the part of the Torah that speaks about someone who's blind. V'chein kol keyotze b'zeh shalei yisbayish. Right? Shevet Levi lo hishtatif ba'asiyas ho'egel. Shevet Levi did not make the egel. V'lchein tiknu shalaparshas ho'egel yalu l'toira rak levim. That's why they made a takana that for the parsha of the egel only levim get called up. Right? Gam noigin likurus levi parshas egel v'karnas v'kol namach. Right? The Magen Avraham brings this down also. Okay. We come to something very interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu says in this week's parsha, Ribbono shel Olam, either forgive their sin or take my name out of your sefer. Right? Viata, now it. Imtisa chatasam. If you bear their sin, good. V'imayin mecheini na, wipe me out misifracha asher kasafta, from your sefer that you wrote. What is your sefer? Right? So the Rashi says, mikol ha-Torah kula. Wipe my name out of the Torah. Why? Shalo yomru alai, so that people don't say about me, shalo hayisi kedai levakesh aleim rachamim, that I was not worthy to ask for mercy for the Jewish people. In other words, if Moshe Rabbeinu's name as the leader of the Jewish people is going to be mentioned in the Torah, people are going to criticize Moshe. Hey Moshe, you couldn't daven? You weren't great enough to daven for them? So therefore Moshe Rabbeinu says, wipe my name out, this way nobody will know who I am, and nobody will, you know, nobody will underestimate my greatness.
Isn't that a little bit of gaiva?
Yeah, it's a lot of gaiva, if you ask me.
They asked to say that, you know, I was mispalel, but yeah. The Baruch Hu didn't answer me.
Yeah. I mean,
so
Moshe Rabbeinu,
he's
willing to give up the great privilege of being mentioned in the Torah. Why? So he doesn't get a little criticism? What, he was such, so haughty, chas v'shalom, that he couldn't bear. He said, God either listened to my tefillah, but I don't want anyone ever to criticize me that I wasn't great enough to daven for the Jewish people. I mean, this is Moshe Rabbeinu's anav mikol adam? And how does that make any sense? And this is a question that's raised by the Brisker Rav. It's brought down in number four in the Sefer Shaila Torah. It's a meh, doesn't make any sense. Moshe Rabbeinu is anav mikol adam. And he's willing to forego the eternal merit of being mentioned in the Torah. Why? He doesn't want someone to say he wasn't great enough. I mean, do you understand how great it is to be mentioned in the Torah? He brings down the third paragraph in number four. You know how chashuv it is to be mentioned in the Torah? In Shmos Rabbah, it brings down, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said that it would have been better for Shlomo to be a janitor of I'm going to say, of a toilet, the Medrash says. The Medrash says, Goyref Bivin, that it shouldn't be written about him in the Torah that his wives turned away his heart. Even though he didn't really sin. But nevertheless, something written in the Torah, right, is eternal greatness. So Moshe Rabbeinu is willing to forgo his entire mention in the Torah so that people don't criticize him? Find something very interesting also. At the end of this week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu, he puts on a mask. That's like one of the strangest things you'll ever hear. Moshe Rabbeinu was wearing a mask? What kind of mask? Like, Batman? What was he wearing exactly?
His face lit up so much that people's eyes couldn't take it. So
he was so bright? Light. So let them wear the mask. What does he have to wear the mask for?
It's a tzibura.
You know? What's he wearing That's the mask for? What kind of mask was it? He's wearing, Obama mask. What kind of mask?
Didn't you tell us?
It's a wellness mask.
You learned that it was the 20th part.
Yeah, we said many pshatim. So far, in all the questions we've had, we've already given many answers to them in the past. But this is new. We never took this avenue. Okay, so what exactly? What kind of mask was it?
An African mask.
So Ibn Ezra says, we always learned the mask was because he radiated so much light. Says the Ibn Ezra, just the opposite. It's not that, listen to this. Yesh Oimrim, look in the Ibn Ezra. Sheha'ar haya mischadesh b'fnei Moshe b'chaleis. Shehaya ba el oya mayid v'idabra el meshem. Moshe Rabbeinu only had the light when he spoke to God. V'haya yoytze, he would leave. V'ha'ar oimid kozman, shehaya medabra el b'nei Yisrael divrei Hashem. Whenever Moshe spoke to the people the word of God, his face emanated light. Uvechaloso, but when he finished speaking the word of God, he stopped illuminating. Yasim Hamasra. Sheyeda, Sheyasar Ha'ar, Vyashuva Panav Kasher Hayu. You know why he put on the mask? Because his face stopped emanating light after he stopped teaching Torah. Bezeye Giroin Lamosha. That would have been a detraction of the greatness of Moshe. People would see his face without the light. You hear the Ibn Ezra? The Ibn Ezra is saying the exact opposite of what we always learned. We always learned that his face emanated light, so therefore nobody could look at him, so he had to wear a mask. Says the Ibn Ezra, no. His face only emanated light, A, when God spoke to him, B, when he spoke to the Jewish people. But Chas V'Shom, the Jewish people should see Moshe Rabbeinu without emanating light. It would be embarrassing to Moshe that they don't recognize his godless. So therefore he covered it. It was a great cover-up. It was a big scam. He wore the mask so that people shouldn't see him without the light. I'm saying, Moshe Rabbeinu is, he doesn't want the people to see him in a compromised situation. But the people could only look at him when he's in his full glory? I mean, this is the Anav Mikol Adam. How do we understand that? So what we learn from here, both from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Imtisa chatosam, wipe me out from the Sefer Torah," and the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu would not allow himself to be seen without the mask, is this a very important limud? A, in how people have to treat and look up to their Gedolei Yisrael, and B, how the Gadol Yisrael needs to act to the people. What does that mean? It means like this. That Torah is a transmission process. It's given over from the Rebbe to the Talmidim. The Talmidim have to recognize the godless of the Rebbe. If they don't recognize it, they're not going to be Makabal the Torah. If they see the Rebbe as just an ordinary person, the Torah is not going to be transmitted to them because they don't have the proper Kavod Harav. So as humble as Moshe Rabbeinu was, Moshe Rabbeinu recognized that he's the transmitter of the Torah. And if people start to say he was unworthy to pray for the Jewish people, then people are not going to be mekabel the Torah from him. Because it's going to be a diminishment in the Kabbalah HaTorah. In order to be mekabel Torah from the Rebbe, the Talmidim have to understand the godless of the Rebbe. And if Moshe Rabbeinu recognized, the Brisker Rav says, if people are going to start to say Moshe was not great enough to daven for Klal Yisrael, that is going to be a diminishment in the transmission from the Rebbe to the Talmud. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know what? Better my name be completely erased from the Sefer Torah, and I give up all the glory that's involved in being written in the Sefer Torah, than people not recognize the Chashivas HaRav. Look what he says in number 7. It would be a Advarim Nira, it would seem. in the last paragraph, Kivan Shem Yiru Klal Yisrael Moshe Lulay Karnei Hod. Ah, if Klal Yisrael would see the Rebbe without his face illuminating, that would not be the proper image that the Talmidim have to have of the Rebbe. That would be a diminishment in Moshe, in his role as Rebbe. In other words, as humble as Moshe was, he recognized he is, right? Torah tziva lanu Moshe, my Rasha Kiyosak, he's teaching Torah to Klal Yisrael. If he's teaching Torah to Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael has to recognize him not as a regular guy, but as the Rav. And if they recognize him as the Rav, then they could only see him b'karnei hod. And when his face is not illuminating, it was Moshe's absolute obligation to cover up. To cover up. And that's the pshat.
Rebbe.
One second. And that's the pshat why Moshe Rabbeinu said, wipe my name out of the Sefer Torah. It's a very powerful concept. It's an important concept, you know. Sometimes a Rebbe in yeshiva, he wants to take off his jacket and play ball with the Talmidim. Maybe it's a good idea. He needs to relate with the Talmidim. He needs to connect with them on their level. Yeah, it's a very important idea that the Rebbe has to connect. But there's also an important idea that the Talmidim have to have a certain image of the Rebbe. So how to balance that, you know? There are different approaches, different strokes for different folks. But there is certainly a concept of that the Talmidim should see the Rebbe b'karnei hod.
He was breaking the kavod of his position.
What?
He was breaking the kavod of his position. Right. Himself.
Right, that's what the rabbis always say, right? Yeah. It's not me, it's the position, right?
Only take foul shots.
What?
Only take foul shots.
Only foul shots.
But we know that the Kodesh Baruch Hu, when Moshe was discussing Torah with Bnei Yisrael, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu's voice came through Moshe. Remember we learned that
he
didn't stutter.
He didn't stutter, right? Correct.
So the fact that he's wearing this mask wasn't an issue about diminishing. They knew that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to him, that he spoke one way. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't speaking to him, he spoke another way.
Or you could ask,
and he didn't do anything.
Did the Bnei Yisrael think that when he put on the mask, the Bnei Yisrael, they knew his face was not illuminating at that time. So what does he have to cover it up for? The answer is, but they can't see him in that state. The Talmidim also know when the Rebbe goes to sleep at night, he's wearing pajamas. But it doesn't mean the Rebbe should come to shir in pajamas, right?
But Moshe was stuttering when he didn't speak Torah, so he saw him that way.
Okay.
And he didn't cover up the stuttering.
There's nothing he could do about that. What's he supposed to do? But at least, and that was so that Bnei Yisrael recognized that it was Shechina Medaberes Mitoch Goyinu Shel Moshe. Okay, very interesting concept. It's an exact opposite of Rashi. Rashi learns he covered up the light because the people couldn't look at the light. Ibn Ezra learns he covered up when the light wasn't there. Okay, now we have an unbelievable pshat from Rabbi Kiva Eger. What's pshat in this mask? Right? You want to hear an unbelievable pshat? Again, the question is, what, Moshe Rabbeinu wore a mask? Was it a Purim Shpiel? He put on a mask? Listen to this. Moshe Rabbeinu, again, was Anav Mikol Adam. He was the most humble guy. So I have a question for you. When he taught Torah to Klal Yisrael, did he get up to the lectern? No, really. Let someone else give shir. Really, you know, I'm a nobody. He's greater than me. Let Aaron give shir. He got up there with full confidence and he gave the shir, understanding he is the Maaser HaTorah. But one second, how does that fit into he's Anav Mikol Adam? How does he balance the fact that he is more humble than anyone? How is he able to get up there and give over the Torah to Klal Yisrael? He has to do it with authority, right? If he's going to do it like a lemela, if he's going to do it like, you know, an anav, you know, rolling his hands like a nobody, they're not going to accept the Torah. So he has to put on a facade. He has to put on an act. He has to put on a face. That was the mask. He didn't wear a mask. When it says he put on a mask, it means he put on an image, but deep down he didn't feel that he was that person. Deep down he felt he was nobody. He was anav mikol adam. He was afar va'efer, v'nachnu ma. The mask was the image he put on, not for himself, for the benefit of the Talmidim, so that they accept the Torah from him in the proper way.
It's nice Shabbat, it's not mashma from the words of the Pasuk, but Pasuk said Karin Or, right?
What?
Pasuk tells us that he wore the mask because of the light, not because of that, you know, he established a persona of a motivational speaker.
Does the Torah say he put on the mask because of the light? Or the Torah just says he had light and he put on a mask? Right? The Ibn Ezra learns the exact opposite. Ibn Ezra learns he put on the mask when the light wasn't there. So this pshat is saying the purpose, it wasn't an actual mask. It was a certain image, a certain face he put on. Okay. We move on. Very interesting. That's from Rabbi Kiva Eger. That's from Rabbi Kiva Eger, quote number 8. Then we come on. Vayamoid Moshe b'shar ha'machar. Right? One of the most dramatic moments in Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu stands in the gate of the camp. Vayomer mi l'Hashem Eli. Who is to God come to me? Vayayasu Elav kol b'nei Levi. And all the B'nai Levi gathered to him. Rabbi say, what does it mean, Mila Shemilai? Who's on God's team? Come to me. Says Targum Unklus, a completely different translation of the words. Unklus says, Va'amar Moshe said, Man dachalaya da'ashem. Whoever fears God, Yesun Levasi. Come to me. I mean, where did the Targum get that from? That's not what the words mean. Right? It's like the Targum would have said, Moshe says, Mi l'Hashem Eli, and Targum Unklus could have tied, whoever went to the Kailo this morning, I mean, that's not what the words mean. Mi l'Hashem, who's on God's team? Where did Unklus get these from? If Moshe meant, who fears God, he would have said, Mi Yare l'Hashem Eli. The Targum should say, who's on God's side? Mi l'tzada, l'tzida de elaka Eli.
But also, they ask the question, what is the La mean? La means two. Mi im Hashem. The La also is Shver and Elasha.
How should it have said?
Two Hashem.
How should it have said?
I mean, Mi Lashem, Mi Letzida Hashem, who's on God's side. Wow. Doesn't the Torah doesn't say Mi Yare Lashem? And interesting, the Medrash says, what do you mean, Mi Lashem? Who wouldn't want to be on God's side? I mean, why wouldn't every single Jew run to the side of Moshe? So the Medrash says what Moshe was really asking is, whoever didn't give jewelry to the Egel, come to me.
Women.
So then the question is, right? Now, by the way, very few Jews contributed to the Egel, only 3,000 Jews. Even of the men, very few. It was less than, it was a small percentage, right?
5%. The other ones, they have to buy silent.
Right? It was less than 1%. Less than 1%. Right? It's 0.5, it's half a percent.
Why?
3,000 out of 600,000. Right? So, Mi, man dachalaya dashem, who fears, dachalaya is dachil, to tremble, come to me. So the question is, if Moshe Rabbeinu was really asking, who didn't contribute jewelry, so why did he say, who's on God's team? He should say, who didn't contribute jewelry? So we have a very interesting comment from the Sefer Birchas Mordechai of Rav Ezrachi, one of the Rashivas in Chevron today. Very very powerful speaker in Eretz Yisrael. He says like this. Look on the third paragraph. It's written the way he speaks. It's written very dramatically. Look on the third paragraph. It's a pasuk hazem etargem ha'unklus. Unklus translates this pasuk. Ki ha'kavona hi, the kavona is, man dechalaya d'Hashem yesun levasi. He who fears God, come to me. So, and he says, v'chach me'targem yonesim ben Uziel, that the kavana is, who fears God? He says, yesh la'ayin. What targum couldn't teach the word, so he had to invent a new translation. Why couldn't targum translate the words the way they're written? And if it meant who fears God, then Hashem should have written. Moshe should have said mi yare Hashem. So he says like this. The simple translation of the words, who is to Hashem, is mi hashayach l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who is connected to God? What does that mean, who's connected to God? Who lives solely for God and doesn't have their own agenda in mind? So you say, everybody, we all live for God. No. This is not such a small thing. Who could really testify about themselves? Who could say that they're not in it for their own cause? Who could say with a clear conscience, I live for God and I'm not interested in my own, you know, my own thing in this world? Very hard to say that. Everybody has their own interests. Even people who spend their time learning and davening, everybody is in it for their own benefit. Who could really say they are solely to God? And that is why the Jews were very honest. When Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mi Lashem, who is only for God and not for themselves? The only some people went to Moshe. Who were they? The Levim. What about all the Yisraelim? What about 99% of the Yisraelim who didn't serve the Egel? They couldn't answer honestly that their entire guf, their entire nefesh, their entire ambition is just for Hashem. Only the Bnei Levi. Why couldn't they say that? Who could say they have no cheshbonos for their own? How do you know? Misha Margish Atzma Kihushal Kadosh Baruch Hu, a couple paragraphs down. Lo Yozes Mi Milu Pkudu Masima Vlo Yachshav Shem Chishav Af Loi La Taybasik Vyachshal Kadosh Baruch Hu Misham Shekulei Nechna Beinenu Shal Atzma Klal. What's the barometer to know? How could a person bring himself that he is completely Lashem and he doesn't have his own cheshbonos in this world? There's only one way. Ha'afchana achasi, beduka imenusa. There is only one tried and tested measure to know if your life is Lashem. And that is, do you have Yirah Shamayim? Do you fear God? Do you fear God? What does that mean, do you fear God? Are you thinking on a regular basis that one day, la'achar mei v'asim shana, you have to give a din v'cheshbon before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is a person thinking constantly, I can't do an avera because there's einish for it, and I have to pursue mitzvahs because there's schar in olam hazeh and olam haba? If a person is a yari shamayim, there is no room for his own personal agenda.
So the only people that have the 99%, 99.5%,
they're the only ones who responded.
Nachshon ben Minoah, Btzalel. I mean, we have other people you would have expected now, listen, would fall into that category.
That's a high madriga. Now, I have a question for you. If the only barometer is Yirah Shamayim, so why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu just say, Mi sheyesh ba Yirah Shamayim bakan, come here if you have Yirah Shamayim. Right? If Moshe Rabbeinu was searching for Yirah Shamayim, why didn't he call out for Yirah Shamayim? You know what the answer is? Because if Moshe Rabbeinu would have said, whoever has Yirah Shamayim, come here, you know who would have come? Everybody. Because everybody thinks they have Yirah Shamayim. But everybody also recognizes that when it comes down to it, they also have their own personal cheshbonos. So Moshe Rabbeinu asks a very piercing question. The piercing question is, who lives for God? And nobody could really whitewash that and say, yeah, I live for God. Because everybody recognizes that they have the cheshbonos. But what Moshe Rabbeinu was really asking for was, who has Yirah Shamayim? But to ask straight, who has Yirah Shamayim? Everybody thinks they have Yirah Shamayim. But knowing that we have our own cheshbonos, that's something we recognize off the bat. So what Moshe Rabbeinu said was, who's on God's side? What he was getting at was, who has Yirah Shamayim? Yeah.
He asked for donations in the Mishkan. It says, Yikhu Li.
Lishma.
Right, so everybody else didn't wasn't qualified then?
They all offered for the Mishkan. To give tzedakah, anyone could give tzedakah. What? Lishma. So that Lishma you could get to. You could give money, you could open up the wallet and give money, and that money you give Lishma. But it doesn't mean your entire existence is lat for Hashem. You could have all the other things a person does with his own cheshbonos. So that's a higher madrega. That's what he says. He says, how does a person know if he has Yirah Shamayim? Mi Lashem Elai. Who is on God's side? Zeu Shamar HaMedrash. Rak Zeh, Shebavor Lohay Lo Shum Cheshman Echishav L'Toyves Moshe. Rak Zeh Shalo Shama, Af Loi Lahatsa, Lassus Lam Lekim Asher Yilech Lefneim. It's a very powerful diuk that he's making over here. That Moshe Rabbeinu was looking for people who only live for Hashem. And the only way to reach that level is through Yirah Shamayim. But Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to ask, who has Yirah Shamayim? Because a person could fool himself into thinking, right? George Bernard Shaw said, when it comes to self-deception, every man is a genius. Right? So if Moshe Rabbeinu would have asked, who has your Shemayim? 600,000 people would have lined up. But what he asked is, who is for God? And that's a tough question to answer.
They were already set up way before that. The whole Shem Rebbe.
What?
The whole Shem Rebbe was set up way before.
What do you mean set up?
For that mission.
Yeah, but now they have to. They have to kill their brothers.
What?
But now they have to go take the sword and they kill their brother, kill their relatives. That's a high madriga that for.
They don't kill people.
Yeah, for sure. That's a different lecture.
Okay, Rabbi said something very interesting. Remember in Parshas Balak. Parshas Balak. So Bilam comes to curse Klal Yisrael. And the donkey says, Zesh Sholosh Regalim. Right? What are you going if you're trying to go these three times? So Rashi is bothered by Akasha. Why does it say Sholosh Regalim? It should say Sholosh Pamim. So Rashi, Remezlai, he's alluding to him. Ata Mevakish Lakar Uma, you're coming to uproot a nation. Hachageges Sholosh Regalim Bashana, that celebrates three festivals a year. In other words, Bilam is coming to destroy Klal Yisrael. And Hashem says, no, not so fast. They keep Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Why didn't Hashem say they put on tefillin? They wear tzitzis. I mean, why is Hashem picking on the Sholosh Regalim?
Shabbos.
Shabbos. They say Divrei Torah at the Shabbos table. Right?
Rosh Hashanah
Yom Kippur. Torah is not... They keep the Sholosh Regalim. Bilam couldn't care less that we keep the Sholosh Regalim. Very interesting. We find, and at the end of this week's parasha, the pasuk says, "Elokei maseicha lo sasalach." Don't make idols. Es chag hamatzos tishmar. Keep Pesach, as if like there's no in between ground. And if I don't keep Pesach, it's like I'm making idols. I mean, maybe I won't make idols and I won't keep Pesach. It almost sounds like, don't make idols, keep Pesach. Well, what does one thing have to do with the other? And if I'm not going to keep Pesach, I'm going to be making idols instead? So the Gemara Darshans, in Masechta Makos, we're almost there, Daf Chav Gimel. Esmichos hapsukim darshu kach v'gemara amrav sheshes, mishum rav lezim nazaya, kol hamivazes hamayadois, keilu oyved, avoydazara. If you disgrace Yom Tov, it's like serving idols. The Chsiv, Elokei Maseicha Loisaselach B'Samach Leis Chag Hamatzos Tishmar. Wow! So if a person is Mevaze Yom Tov, it's like he served idols. Says Rashi, not just Yom Tov. If you're Mevaze Chol HaMoed, it's like he served idols. How does Rashi know? It's talking about Chol HaMoed also. Maybe it's just talking about Yom Tov itself. So Rav Meir Varzir of the Kahal Kodesh, Harchov, says the following pshat. He says like this. Why, if someone is Mavaza Yom Tov, it's like he served Avodah Zarah? He says an amazing thing. That, how many hours did Klal Yisrael serve the Egel for? Vayarham ki boi sheish Moshe. The people saw that Moshe was late. Ba sheish. He came in the sixth hour. So they were making the egel for how many hours? 6 hours. How many days of Sholosh Regalim do we have? 7 days of Pesach.
15.
7 days of Sukkot.
And 1 day of Shavuos.
I guess Shemini Atzeres is not making the list. 15 days of Yom Tov. How many hours of Yom Tov?
15 times
4.
360. 360.
How many hours of the ego?
6.
6 hours of the ego. They serve the ego for 6 hours. So the Yamim Tovim are Mevatel the Chedo Ego B'Shishim. The 15 days of Yom Tov times 24
six.
Makes the ego Bato B'Shishim.
60 times 6.
360 hours of Yom Tov is Mevatel, the 6 hours of the Egel. So therefore, if someone is Mevatel Yom Tov, it's like he served Avodah Zarah. Because the Egel comes back. That's what the Gemara means.
Where does it say that Avodah Zarah could be Batel B'Shishim?
Right? It's Mevatel. Isser could be Batel B'Shishim.
Avodah Zarah is a low Batel B'Meyah.
No, in food? In food it's batal. In food it's batal. Rabbi say. So someone who doesn't keep Yom Tov, so the Cheiro Ego comes back. Rabbi say. But that means you have to keep Chol HaMoed also. Because if you don't have the hours of Chol HaMoed, then you don't have the 360 hours. Ah. So that's the pshat in the Gemara. Kol hamavaze es hamayadois kilu oivet avodazara.
And Shmini Yetzer is not considered a moed?
It's a moed, but it's not one of the Shalish regalim. It's not. It's not, right? Right? Shalish pam b'ashan yir kol zuchor es b'nei Hashem v'kev. V'chag ha-matzah, v'chag ha-sukah, v'chag ha-shabuiz.
So why are you saying this?
Ah. Rabbi Isai, an amazing thing that comes out. Comes out that how was Bilam coming to curse Klal Yisrael? What was his point of attack? Look at Targum Unklus in number 16.
He wants them to avoid
the... V'chazah Bilam! Bilam sa'arei sakin kadam Hashem levaracha Yisrael. That really, he should bless the Jewish people. V'lo halach kizman bizman. He didn't see any averos in them. Ela kein la kadam us nechashaya. V'shavi la kavel egla da'avadu yisal b'madvara. Bilam says, let me focus on the Cheid Ho'egal. Then I'll be able to curse Klal Yisrael. So how does Hashem respond to Bilam? You're not going to be able to put your focus on the Cheid Ho'egal. Why? Because Klal Yisrael serves Shalosh Regalim. They serve the three festivals. And based on what we're saying, that the three festivals are Mevatel, Liegel, B'Shishim. So that's now we understand why Hashem doesn't tell them about Tefillin, doesn't tell them about Torah. Bilam is focusing on L'Kavel Egla. So Hashem says, Shalosh Regalim. Beautiful. We can add one thing. I heard the name of Rafael Shmulevitz. Says like this. Moshe Rabbeinu gets the Luchais. God says, so, right? Lech reid kishiches amacha. What does Moshe do with the Luchais? Nothing. Nothing. He doesn't break them. He says, thanks for the Luchais. What does he do when he hears Klal Yisrael serve the ego? Nothing. Nothing. He comes down, and the Pasuk says, Vayaras ha'egel, he sees the ego. U'mechailais, now he sees they're dancing. Ah, says the Sfarno. When he saw they were happy about the Avera, Kisharasha Yusmecha Mekokal Shasa. When they saw that they were happy about the Avera, then he said it's impossible they could ever rectify it. Everybody does Averos. Right? Who doesn't do Averos? But when you're happy when you do an Avera, that means you're really into it. Says Sfarno, all hope is lost. So in order to be Masaki in the Egel, Mida Kenegan Mida, you need to display Simcha. What's the purpose of the Shalosh Regalim? Says the Sfarno. Tachagli, Shalosh Pamim, Tachagli, Bashan number 15. Keinyin, why do you have to be happy on Yom Tov? Keinyin, Yismach, Yisrael, Ba'oisav. Hepuch, Vayaras, Ha'ego, Mechailais. The opposite of the dancing. So the Yomim, the purpose of Yom Tov, according to the Sfarno, is to go exactly opposite of the Chedo Egel. And now we understand a little bit deeper why the Yom Tovim are Mavatal, the Cheiro Ego, B'Shishim. Because we know, Min B'She'ino Imino, you can't just be Mavatal. It has to be Min B'Mino, it has to be the same thing. So therefore, the Simchas Yom Tov, not only of Yom Tov itself, but even Chol HaMoed, is Mavatal, the Cheiro Ego, B'Shishim. And that's the union of why the Torah juxtaposes Eloikei Ma'aseich, Eloi Sa'aselach, as Chag HaMatzos Tishmar. And that's how Rashi derives that you need to keep not only Yom Tov itself, but even Chol HaMoed. And that's why Hashem says to Bilam, you can't curse Klal Yisrael because they serve, they keep the three regalim. Okay.
The people who were happy at the Egel, was that the 99.5%? Or just the 0.5% who contributed? Who was
Chayra, the only the ones that made it.
So the 99.5% suffer because of the 0.5%?
They should have spoken up. Yeah. Okay, Rabbi, so let's just end. It's not on the sheet. We still have a few moments. There's a pasuk in this week's parasha. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Rabbi Sham, Hareini nos kvaydecha, show me your glory. So Hashem says, no, Lakila, you're ani adam v'chai. You can't see God and live. So Hashem says, I'm going to put you samticha benikras atzur, v'sakoisi kapi olecha, v'haya ba'avor kvaydi, right? V'ra'isa es achayra, you could see my back. Upanai la'yero, you can't see my front. But that's what I mean. You could see God's back, you can't see his front. He doesn't have a back, he doesn't have a front. Why one you could see, why one you can't see. What's a pshat? So Chassam Sofer writes in the Torah, Moshe, a pshat, but it's really based on a story that happened to him. And the story is recorded in the biography of the Chassam Sofer. in the Sefer Chut HaMeshulash on page Samach Zayin in the footnote, in the old print. In the new print, it's on a different page. But in any event, Chassam Sofer says like this. Chassam Sofer says that when he was a bachur, he was learning in the city of Minsk, and it was in time France was at war with Austria, and the French soldiers were in the city of Minsk, and they made themselves home in many people's houses. So Chassam Sofer is sleeping in a rich guy's house, the rich guy's providing for him, and next to him in the same room was a soldier. And the soldier was very impressed with the Chassam Sofer, and he said, teach me something. What do you want to learn? I want to learn Lashon Kodesh. So no, it's okay, I don't really know. You have to do it. If you do it, I'll shine your shoes and I'll do your laundry. Chassam Sofer is not interested in teaching this French soldier Hebrew, but he has no choice. So he teaches the soldier Hebrew. Fine. 30 years later, Chassam Sofer is the Rav of Pressburg. He's Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva in Pressburg. And again, it was during the war. And Pressburg was mamish in the epicenter of the war, right? The Chassam Sofer writes about how, the missiles were shaking the city. And someone tattled on him that he's a spy for the Austrian army. He's taken to the judge. The judge takes one look at Chassam Sofer. He faints. So he takes Chassam Sofer into the other room. He said, really, anyone who's suspected of being a spy is killed immediately. But I know you very well. 30 years ago, you taught me Lashon HaKodesh. So Chassam Sofer remembered, you're off the hook. Chassam Sofer says, that's Pshat in the Pasuk. V'ra'isa sachayrai upanai lo yera'u. That in life, as events unfold, we can't understand why they're happening. We don't understand why they're happening. Why does this happen? Why does that happen? Certain things take place. You can't understand why it happened. But after the fact, hindsight is 20/20. Whether in this world or in the world to come, we'll be able to look back and see exactly why it happened. That's the pshat about the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam says, "V'ra'isa sachayra." You'll be able to understand me from behind after events have transpired. But upanai, as they're unfolding, lo yera'u. Can't understand why they're happening. I have a wonderful
shot. You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.